The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey, Merry Meet everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron here on the Para X Radio Network. You were just listening to Winds of Change by Dave the Bard, and tonight we're going to be talking about change in a spiritual way with my guest Marla Martinson. And yes, you heard it right, as if one Marla isn't enough, tonight you're blessed with two. But this Marla wears lots of hats. She's a Reiki and crystal healer, a speaker. She's been a professional matchmaker working in Los Angeles since 2002. She's the host of Cosmic Conversations, which is an interview series that brings you ideas, insights, wisdom, and humor from the top experts on a variety of subjects. And she's the author of two memoirs, Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker and Hearts on the Line, which is based on her experiences as the Beverly Hills Matchmaker. And she's here tonight to talk about her latest book, another memoir called The Buddha Made Me Do It, A Field Guide to Enlightenment. Marla, welcome to the show.
Hey, Marla. Thanks for having me.
You're so enthusiastic. It scared me. I love the title of your book. But when the book arrived and I saw the cover, I liked it even more.
Oh, thank you.
I collect laughing Buddhas, like the one on your cover. And in fact, the Buddha that I put on the show banner is one of mine.
Oh, he's wonderful. Yeah, that's a great one.
Good. He's my Shanghai Yu. Yeah, that's what I call him. long story, I'll tell you some other time. But, so that was a whole nother reason to resonate to this book. You know, I mean, how could I not love it with a cover like that? But as I mentioned earlier, the book is a memoir. So not the kind of book that people would think, oh, well, this is another textbook that, you know, a field guide to enlightenment and all that. You're teaching, not preaching, and teaching by example with the memoir. And while the book is a field guide of sorts and full of information, it's written in a very whimsical way as well. And I think that makes it a really enjoyable read and really good to, you know, let people know that. So it's just, you know, oh no, I don't want to read another one of those, you know, like self-help books are written. So right. Thank you for writing it in the way that people are going to go running to it a little bit quicker, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I kind of describe it as sort of a Eat, Pray, Love meets Bridget Jones's Diary kind of feel to it, I think, because there's a lot of wacky humor and then there's, things that experiences that I had. So it's a fun book. I cracked myself up reading it.
Well, you know, and it's also, it's your personal spiritual journey to enlightenment. And it all began with a search for a Buddha. And yes. When you began this mundane quest, I'm guessing that the only journey you thought you were going on was in search of a statuette that you kind of sort of tossed out without realizing that your husband was rather fond of it. But I think that Buddha actually did send you off on a spiritual quest. So give us a little backstory here.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how just one little moment of your life or one little mundane thing can put us in a whole different direction? It's amazing. So my husband and I bought a house. We always lived in Hollywood. We were Hollywood people. You know, he's a musician and I'm a writer and matchmaker and all these other things. So very creative. But we wanted to buy a house. And when the crash of, you know, the recession came, it was good for us because we got a great deal on a house, but we had to move to the San Fernando Valley. So now I'm a Valley girl. So out here and we moved before we moved, we kind of purged and then in the middle of it and stuff, just kind of purging. And, you know, you get a lot of things, knickknacks. And there was this Buddha that was I don't know why I had to get rid of it, but I thought, how many knickknacks can you have? And it was this one of those small, maybe a half a foot, 6 inches or so, wooden Buddha that I've seen them all over the place that a neighbor gave me for my birthday or Christmas. Well, my husband says that it was both, he gave it to both of us, but I'm sure he gave it to me. Anyway, I went ahead and brought it to its new home, the Goodwill, along with a bunch of other stuff. And my husband had never asked about it, never even looked at it until, of course, I gave it away. And then when he says, hey, where's that Buddha? And I said, oh, no. And my husband, easygoing is not really a word that you'd describe to my Adolfo. You know, I thought, oh, I'm not going to get in an argument about this. I just brushed it off. I said, I'm sure it's just in the garage, probably in some boxes that we didn't unpack. Mm-hmm. Well, you better find that. You better not have gotten rid of that Buddha. You better have, you always get rid of things without asking me. Oh, no, I didn't. I swear to God, I didn't get rid of it, Adolfo. I'm sure it's, I'll find it. And so every day he's out, did you find that Buddha yet? And I'm like, oh, crap. So I hop in my Toyota and I'm driving all over Los Angeles, every spiritual hotspot that I can find, think of, and walk in and say, hey, you know, do you have any Buddhas? And I was sure I'd seen them all over, but I couldn't find one. And then finally I said, I'm going to just try one more place. I Googled metaphysical gift shops in the San Fernando Valley, and one popped up that I hadn't heard of called the Imagine Center on Ventura Boulevard. And so I said, okay, I'll go over there. I walked in, and a cute little retail shop, nice vibe. And I asked the woman behind this counter, hey, do you have any wooden Buddhas? And no, they didn't have any Buddhas. But they did have a flyer that advertised classes every other week. And they had classes on abundance, classes on crystals, on connecting with your guides, only $15 per class. And I thought, oh, that sounds cool. So I called my girlfriend, Julie, who is a celebrity ghostwriter who lives a few blocks from me, and we're like BFFs. And I said, hey, Julie, I found this real cool place. I didn't find any Buddhas, but we can take a class over here. Do you want to go? And she goes, sure. So we start taking classes at the Imagine Center with the fabulous goddess Tahita, who owns the place, amazing, powerful healer and intuitive. And we loved it. And we took every class that she offered. And that's when I realized I could get certified in crystal healing. And from there, we just kind of went a little nuts and started signing up for stuff all over town. And we went to psychics, and I went to channelers, and we tried the Ouija board, and I learned how to use a pendulum, and I got beaten with bamboo, and I mean, you name it, you know, we were trying it. We were going to those spiritual, what do you call it, the little fair, psychic fairs, and the new Conscious Life Expo, and spending a lot of money, but having a lot of fun. And so my husband never did ask. He finally dropped the Buddha and forgot about it, and he didn't read the book, but he did come with me when I was on Coast to Coast AM with George Noory. He's a friend of George is a friend of my husband, so he comes in studio with us, and he's sitting there, and that's when he found out about the Buddha, because I had to, you know, tell the story like I'm doing now on Coast to Coast. And so he found out, along with like 3 million people, what happened. But he took it well. I was surprised. He was just like, oh, okay, whatever.
You're going to need to toddle off down to Chinatown, because I guarantee you'll find one there. That would have been my first stop, and not just because of the Buddha. I would have to actually go to Phoenix Bakery, because I love the bean.
Oh, cake. Okay.
Yeah. I'll so that, yeah, that works. All right. Yeah. So somebody picked up on your beaten with bamboo thing in the chat room. And I know you, and I was going to ask you this anyway, that you would immediately know where I'm going with this. But wouldn't you agree that opening yourself up to spirituality can at times be an exceedingly painful process?
Yes, and that's in chapter. So anybody who wants to read my book, that's chapter 2, and it is my favorite chapter, because when I was going through this, I thought, all right, because at that point, I think Julie had the idea for me to write this book. I wasn't planning to write another. I hoped to write another book, but I didn't know what to write. I was tired of writing about dating. And she gave me the idea to write about our adventures. And I thought, this is too good to, you know, not include. And yeah, it's called Percussion Therapy. And there's this great place up in like Thousand Oaks or something called the Healing Tree. And they have teas. It's owned by a Chinese herbalist doctor called Dr. Mo. And he's just wonderful. And he does all these tea concoctions and kombucha and stuff. But he also has this little healing room. And I had read some testimonials about this therapy that he had invented with someone else, I think in China, called percussion therapy. And it's supposed to do like when you're getting acupressure, and you press on these spots, and you kind of release if you have any trauma of emotions or whatever. So what he does is, first I go in the room, and he checks your tongue and your pulse and talks about, you know, what you know, your health and stuff, and then takes you into the room and you strip down to my underwear. And then he taps lightly with these bamboo sticks, but I have never had so much pain in my life. The burning and pain sensation was unreal. And he's not even like beating you hard. And mm-hmm. So he says, well, that means that there's trauma to be released when it hurts so bad. And then later when he hit on some spots and it didn't hurt, he goes, well, there's no trauma there to release. And I did have bruises all over, but and my husband freaked. I mean, the scene in there too, I wrote about, and I'm real pale. I'm a redhead, so I get bruises easy, sunburn, mm-hmm. everything. I have to be very careful. He's like, your beautiful white skin. What if the bruises never go away? Are you crazy? And I said, I'm like, yeah, but you think people would keep going back to him if the, you know, the bruises didn't go away? And then I decided to go all the way, and he had leeches. And when I told my mom about it, she's like, those went out, you know, in the Middle Ages. And I'm like, no, they, I thought so too, but they didn't, apparently not. So I let him attach a leech to my upper buttock there, and it grabbed on, and then I let him do some cupping on my back, which is supposed to get the you know, people know about that. So you can imagine what I looked like. The cupping leaves these cupping marks. I think Michael Phelps, you know, when he's doing the Olympics, we saw those marks, those round circles all over him. He had been doing cupping. And then I had the little blood encrusted little bite mark from the leech. I had I had bruises up and down my body. And I was going to go back 5 times because you're supposed to keep going. He says, uh-huh. It could take 4 to 6 sessions, you know, to take effect. And my husband tried to stop me from going back. And I says, you can't control me. I'll do what I want. It's my money. And I went back 1 time. And then I thought, I can't have any more arguments with my hubby. So I 2 times, and that was it.
But, well, you know, you mentioned that he didn't like that. And the bamboo chapter wasn't the only chapter where you mentioned that your husband wasn't exactly on board with all of your spiritual awakening processes.
Right.
And he was afraid of repercussions, both mentally and physically, and that if your clients found out about the other side, you might lose business. And in many instances, not just with you, but one spouse may not agree with the other's path or journey. And since this is something that you've had experience with, how does one go about doing the things that deep inside the soul is telling them to do, time for an awakening and all that, when at the same time trying to keep a relationship intact?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I'm sure a lot of people have to deal with this. I've always been on a spiritual path. I mean, I started delving in probably like maybe 1989, 90. Going to, you know, Marianne Williamson lectures and seeing Wayne Dyer and reading Florence Scovel Shinn and reading a lot of books and things. But I always had kind of liked witches and ghosts and ghost stories and kind of occult stuff. I always enjoyed that, but I wasn't delving in deep. So when I met my husband, we've been together 14 years, you know, I had the spiritual things that I'd do. I'd go to a spiritual center or something, and that was okay. But when I started diving deep into this stuff, I mean, he's a grew up Catholic from Mexico City. So mm-hmm. You don't play with Ouija boards, and you don't get tarot cards read, and you don't, you know, that's just what they're taught. And so he kind of had this ingrained, and he started really getting upset, and especially about when I was using the board or talking about even angels, which I was surprised, because he says angels don't exist. They're just Michelangelo painted them, and they're just made up. I says, but you believe in God. How come you can't believe in angels? So I don't mm-hmm. know why he can't, but he's kind of like, if I can't see it, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So he started getting upset. So I've had to, and I said, you're not going to chase me off my path. I'm sorry. You got to let me be me. And so I'll do my, you know, with Karen Dahlman and Linda Salvin mm-hmm. and stuff, we'll get together and go over to Karen's house or Linda's house and do the board, or I'll go to some classes with Julie, and then I'll do my practice I have my own little office here in the little sanctuary in our house. And mm-hmm. I just know what not to bring up with him because it really triggers him and he kind of gets upset. I think he's also does worry about what will his friends think? What will people think? Be careful what you post mm-hmm. on Facebook. You're a high level matchmaker. You deal with millionaire clients. They're going to think you're a loon. And he's very practical and responsible, doesn't want me to lose my income. So he's, mm-hmm. there's a lot there. Yeah. And I think it's a lot of fear, which I write a whole chapter about fear. Mm-hmm. And I think a couple can have a great relationship and still, have a great marriage or relationship, but have some vastly different views. Now he is into astronomy and the universe and planets and all of that. But mm-hmm. then I tease him and I say, we're going to have alien contact, sometime soon. And he's like, you're crazy. And I said, well, I just wait, you got to take me out to dinner when they make contact.
He's going to owe you one.
Yeah, I said, let's make a bet because I can't wait for that day when I could say I told you so.
And, it's interesting, though, in Mexico in general and Mexico City, there are a lot of places that deal with brujería. Witchcraft and stuff, and you can buy the amulets and the candles and mm-hmm. and this, and then of course you got the Dia de los Muertos too.
Which we love. So we like that.
And so it's kind of interesting that he just kind of shut that whole part off because that is part of the Mexican culture.
Right, I know, it's very interesting. Now he does like, I'm always doing candles and I buy candles and I say this is magic. I'm going to make attract money or attract success and he's fine with that. And he loves the Dia de los Muertos. I bought a whole bunch of skulls just in Mexico. We just came back on Tuesday. We were there and I bought a bunch of skulls. He loves the skulls. There's certain things. He loves the crystals, my crystals. Mm-hmm. He likes to get crystal healing and Reiki. Finally, when I first tried it on him, he accused me of trying to kill him. He said, what did you do? I almost had a stroke. He said, what are you doing? And now mm-hmm. he loves. So he came around to half of what I do.
When somebody needs Reiki healing and it does work, it seems to be mm-hmm. a good mind changer. Now, you realized at one point that while you're not addicted to cigarettes or alcohol or even chocolate, which I really don't understand, you did get addicted to New Age certifications. And obviously, I mean, there are so many modalities out there that you can't be certified in everything. Otherwise, you'd be certifiable on a whole different level. I know you did get certified in Reiki and crystal healing and are still doing that. But then I read about life force energy healing. And I'd like to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. And I did go on to be a Reiki master. So I did that too. Hey. Yeah, there's a woman called Deborah King, and she's a healer. She's a shaman healer located in Los Angeles, and she's a Hay House author, has a Hay House radio show. She's fantastic, and she has a life force energy healing course that she teaches online. She has a lot of great courses that she actually does online, and I really liked her. I was listening to her radio show and reading her books, and so I decided to take her online course, and then you get some certifications. I went up to level 4. Mm-hmm. There's higher levels, but you've got to put a lot of, into going to workshop. I mean, it's hard. I can't, when you're married and then you've got a house and a dog and a business to run, and you have to limit yourself. If I won the lottery, I'd probably just, that's all I'd be doing, running around because it's just so fun, there's only so much that we can pack in. But yeah, that's nice to have. And so, yeah. And then I got certified with Reiki for animals as well. I thought, well, mm-hmm. let's add that in and the crystals. Yeah. And so it's a lifelong, as it's a lifelong pursuit, sure. Learning all of these things. Yeah.
Which absolutely. So how have you benefited from this personal quest? And in an overall sense, why should people listening in right now think along the lines of perhaps beginning their own personal journeys?
Well, yeah, I can't, gosh, this has just been, it's kind of made my life sparkle. What's really interesting is by doing these energetic certifications, being attuned energetically to Reiki, so what you're actually getting attuned to energy, the energy of the universe, which opens us up. Like I have a lot of energy at my crown chakra now. I can feel the energy in my body. I astro travel. I can feel my body kind of lifting out many nights. I can use the board, you know, the talking board, Ouija board, whatever you want to call it. I can use that now because my energy, just I can do an automatic writing now, kind of getting off the board. It's kind of opened me up and, just made life sparkle, kind of looking beyond the mundane every day. There's so much negativity in the world. You turn on the TV and the politics and the things, the terrible things happening in the world. And it's kind of nice to be in touch with that, that our angels or the great energy or the our guides or the assistants we have or the magical side of life. Whereas my husband will say, well, we're going to have, you know, when you die, you'll be in that other dimension. You know, just you're here now. Stay here now. Plant your feet in the ground. And I'm like, well, I know I am, but I still like to have that other connection. So, just go ahead and delve into something that maybe sparks your interest, whether it's just learning about some crystals or the pendulum or, you know, just pick up a book. I mean, it's once you kind of get hooked, it's like the curiosity just takes over. There's no end for me. And I interviewed this guy on my show called Eric, I'm blanking, but he does pendulum magic and he's got this special big pendulum and has, it's just fantastic. So I ordered one of these now. I ordered one of these big special pendulums. So nice. I could just go broke with all the stuff that, and I said, I'm not going to buy anything in Mexico. And I said, I don't need anything. And how many? I came back with 8 skulls and some crystal wands. And like, well, they make great gifts.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that online courses, and one of our listeners in the chat room said, well, there's so many online courses now. How do we know which ones to take?
Yeah, right. Well, I went with who I resonated with. Now, I really like Deborah. You can kind of Google reading books, listening to podcasts or radio shows, you kind of get an idea of maybe who you like. I know James Von Prague has an online course. Now, I think the Hay House authors, go on to Hay House on their website. See who I think they're all fantastic, those the people. And they have a lot of Sonia Choquette has wonderful classes, Doreen Virtue. I'd say Hay House authors. You can't go wrong with starting there.
Yeah, exactly. Now, one thing that comes up on occasion from people, and you mentioned this, was astral travel, astral projection. There are people that say they can't do it. There are people that are impatient because it doesn't work the first time. There are many ways to attempt it. Some are like, you know, big ceremonial things, and others are like, well, I think I'm going to close my eyes and do it. Do you have any advice for people that really, because, all right, here's the other question too. I need the advice, but some people say that we do it every night anyway without even knowing it.
Yeah, I've heard that too. We're out of.
So let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Well, I remember as a kid, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, I grew up in Seattle, Washington, and the only time it'd really be warm is in the summer. But I remember this when I'd be kind of hot. And I would, it'd be hot and I'd lay down like in the middle of the day on my bed just to, I was tired or take a little nap or something. I just lay down and I remember it happening just, automatically. It was, and one night too in bed, I remember my soul or spirit was just pulling out. Something was pulling me out and I was fighting as hard as I could to keep it in. And I don't know what was happening there. So I had some kind of experiences as a child, and then I didn't anymore. And then when I started on this 2-year kind of accelerated adventure with the energetic attunements and stuff, all of a sudden one night I'm laying in bed and my body, it's like this, like a motor starting, like a car and just buzzing, and my hands and my, and I could hear this buzzing and then starting to lift out up of, out of the body. One night I did go and ended up flying around, but generally I'm just, sometimes I'll kind of be aware that I'm hovering above, right above my body, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe 6 inches above. Now, one instance I do talk about in my book is all of a sudden one night I'm standing. Well, it's obviously I was in the bed, but my spirit or what we're standing in the bedroom. I'm looking up and there's somebody coming out of the corner of the bedroom out of this light. And I was just like, and all of a sudden I'm looking, I'm scared, but I wouldn't turn away. And I realized it was my dad. And I was screaming, "It's Dad! It's Dad! It's Dad!" And I just kept looking, and then all of a sudden he was sitting at the edge of my bed. I scrambled over there, grabbed his arm, he was looking at me and nodding, kind of a knowing look, like, "Yes, it's me." But he didn't speak, and I was like, "I love you! I love you! I love you!" And then he was gone, and I crawled back into bed. But it was my spirit that crawled back in the body, I guess.
Right.
And I was laying there, and I was awake. It was not a dream, and I can picture it like it was, you know, an hour ago. And I was laying there thinking, "Oh my God, I can't believe this happened." Da-da-da. And then when I was talking to a friend, we figured out, you know what, I think I met my dad on the astral. Oh, I'm talking to a psychic, and I told him about it. And he says, "Well, I think you met your dad on the astral plane." I didn't know I had astral traveled. I was out of my body, and then that's where I saw him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh my God, that was so exciting." Now, of course, you know, my husband was like, "Yeah, sure." it was something else.
Somebody in chat is asking, is there any danger in doing astral travel?
I don't think so. And I've listened to a lot of different people interviewed on different shows that are experts on it. And they say that there's no danger because you will always come back into your body. It is a little bit scary. You're like, "Ooh, what if I, you know, if I don't come," but I just kind of go with it. And I say, "Okay, well, you know, I'll just go with it and always come back." And we've never heard of anybody dying from it.
Or getting lost. No. And I've heard that the thing about the silver cord,
yes,
that attaches you to the body, the soul or the spirit or whatever is going out to the body. So I don't think there's anything dangerous there. Hitman wants to know, were you intentionally trying to travel that night?
No, I wasn't, not at all. And I never do, because whenever I have kind of tried, it doesn't work. It's you know, when you're pushing it or something. So I'll just... sometimes it'll just start happening. Mm-hmm. But I'll sleep with crystals, you know, I'll pick a crystal every night to sleep with or put by my bed. And I try to keep a very clean diet. I'm a vegan. And so I can feel like the energy in my body and all the attunements and stuff. I think that for me, that's what's helped me with all of this, is I'm real sensitive and stuff. So like trying to keep, you know, I like a beer or something once in a while, but I can't, since I've been doing all this stuff too, I can't even really enjoy a glass of wine. It just bothers, it's, I'm such a lightweight now. It's shifted me. And so I have to like eat real clean, keep away from the alcohol, and that's kind of opened me up for things to kind of happen a little easier for me.
Yeah, and I've heard too with astral travel, I mean, it's partly willing to do it, you know, willing yourself to go, clearing up your head when you lay in bed and just kind of imagining you leaving the body. I mean, there's a creative visualization that you can do to go along with it.
Yeah.
And then have something in mind, or have a location in mind, have a destination. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to go see somebody, and they don't have to be on the other side. I mean, you can go, you know, like spirits can travel from place to place. Nothing's holding them back. So
yeah, I did try to see my friend in New York for a long time. I'd like, "Okay, I'm coming over tonight. I'm going to come over and see you." And then I would try, and then nothing happened.
So you're getting it without trying, maybe there's a certification in that, and that'll get you kind of in the right track to be able to, you know,
just zoom out.
Exactly. Yeah, you can be your own travel agent.
That's right,
and that would probably not be a bad thing. Another question from the chat room: what was your favorite pursuit during your book's journey, and why?
Probably the Ouija board, because, I didn't even have a Ouija board. I mean, I just had a board, you know, it didn't say Ouija on it, but the board, because when my friend Julie, well, I'd never tried one. I wasn't one of those kids who got one for Christmas or as a kid. I'd never tried a board before. and didn't know anybody who'd had one. But one day early on in this adventure, Julie came over one night and she says, guess what I've got? And she had two big boards that she'd downloaded two different patterns or whatever, and had them put on some tack board or whatever. So they were big, and she had a little planchette, and she goes, okay, which one do you want to use? One of them was a white board with like a castle, and the other one had like some skeletons on it and stuff. So anyway, we set the room, we put candles and crystals and little saints, and then said a little prayer and put our fingers on the little planchette that she brought over. It was a little game piece, and it moved, and it spelled out stuff and said, you know, I was going to be going to New York soon. It said New York City soon, and spelled people I knew. But the first time it was, we asked who it was, and it said secret, spelled the word secret. And we said, secret? Yeah, secret spirit. And then it was like this trickster, I guess, because it wouldn't tell us his name. But the next time we tried it, she came over again. And then I said, who is this? And it spelled angel. And I said, angel, you're my angel. It said, yes, guardian angel. And then she introduced herself. And I have been now a very close relationship with my angel, Mirth. And I've actually gotten off the board. Well, I wanted to do it by myself, and I couldn't because my energy wasn't right. Once I started getting all of the attunements, I could use the board by myself and then talk to Mirth all the time. And then now I'm actually doing automatic writing where I can get messages off the board with her. So I would say that's the most exciting thing. I never knew you could, because I was one of those people who, okay, angels, well, like you'd listen to Doreen Virtue or whoever, and she's so great, but I'm like, really? Come on, you're talking to angels, you're listening to angels, I don't know, until it happened to me. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm talking to angel. And so that was probably the most exciting thing. And the channeling. I've been to a few channelers who have given me great messages. There's been, you know, I've seen Daryl Anka, who's Bashar, and Osira, Grace Kavanaugh channels, and some channel. And I love channelers. I'm really, if you watch my YouTube show, there's a lot of channelers on there. Very into that. So probably those, and those both have to do with connecting to the non-physical beings or entities, spirits. So I find that absolutely fascinating and exciting.
And you know, you mentioned in your book that along your spiritual journey, you found it interesting that many people have preconceived notions about the occult, about spirituality, all the other unorthodox things like talking boards, witches, witchcraft. You know, I've found that that's the norm rather than the exception. So is this where enlightenment comes into play as far as your book is concerned? Is it about turning on that light bulb over people's heads to open them up, teach them, and let them learn that it's okay to accept and understand something different?
Yeah, you know, this thing was all about, I mean, my journey, and then writing about it, I kind of just wanted to share because it was something that is not written about that much. I had not seen another memoir quite like this one that I've written, and I've kind of just made it really whimsical and fun. But it's true, because people will say the thing about witches, it's like, oh, they don't know exactly what it is or what witches do or study, or but they've got this preconceived idea from whatever Disney or, you know, the witch trial, whatever it is, you know, his just things that they've heard. The same with the board. So they've seen, you know, The Exorcist or whatever, the jumping to conclusions. So one of the things I did in my book was kind of tell a little history about a few things and maybe opening people up. I know we're in my mom's community where she lives, there's a lot of wonderful people. She's got a big group of friends, but they're a lot of them born again Christians. And I know that I was like, oh, okay. They like my books because I've written other books that everybody's always waiting. When's your next book? When's your next book? And this one, I had some trepidation. I'm like, I don't know if you're going to like this one, what you're going to think about this one, but it seems like people are pretty open about it and, you know, accepting. Although still, like, some friends are like, well, yeah, but I still don't think you should use the board. So there's a lot of fear around that. And I'm just kind of very open, and it's interesting to be in a society where we have these thoughts and preconceived ideas, and a lot of people are not willing to just kind of open up their mind and wrap it around some other ideas. But, you know, and I've got to be me, so I just keep on with it.
Well, I think everybody should at least, I don't mind people that being skeptical, you know,
right.
I mean,
right.
We have to be, because nothing is cut and dried, but cynical or completely closed off, to me, that's a scary individual, much scarier than a witch, frankly.
Yes.
You know, a closed mind is really, really bad. And so when people do allow themselves to go on this journey of spirituality and enlightenment, it does make a big difference. People that didn't believe in things, but didn't even know they existed, have learned so much by opening their minds and listening. And it doesn't mean that you have to jump in and embrace, and you don't have to walk around in white robes and sandals and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. I mean, it's for peace of mind, basically. I know when I came out of the broom closet and really threw both feet into the craft and who I am, rather than just kind of it being a hobby in the background, it changed my personality completely. I mean, not personality so much, but it just made me so much calmer and don't sweat the big stuff. And I mean, the small stuff and, you know, seeing the world in different eyes. And I think that's important for everybody to do. They need to be able to open their eyes. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to get on the boat, you know, but understand that there's really a wonderful world out there that you may not know about. And like you said, you have to find things that resonate to you. You need to look around. And there will always be something for everybody. You know, it's like mm-hmm. a smorgasbord. You don't have to take them all, but there will be something that comes and hits you in the head. And with a little bit of time and a little bit of effort, it really turns you into kind of a different person in a good way.
Yeah. It does. And I think people maybe don't even realize the kind of the magic that they're already doing. I mean, when they even make a birthday wish and blow out a candle, or they think about someone and then the phone rings and it's that person. There's a lot of connecting and energetic stuff going on and things that we kind of do, rituals that we might not even think about. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people are participating in this stuff without even realizing it. But yeah, it is so, it just has opened me up a lot more. I was always kind of had an open mind and kind of had magical thinking and stuff. But when you really kind of go for it, it's like, wow, there, like you said, there's all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, there's probably are aliens and they're probably coming. The reason they can come into our atmosphere is because they're coming through another dimension. And now I'm talking about, the angels on the seventh dimension. And then there's the fourth, things that I didn't even know about, you know, a few years ago. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's perfectly normal to me now. So
yeah. And yeah. It's calming. It's a better kind of feeling. I can't even explain it. I think people
right.
need to jump out and do it. But all right. So let's talk about how this journey, your personal transformation, has affected the way you work and deal with clients, because that's all part of it. I mean, this has changed you to a certain degree. So also, do you think that if clients knew about the other side of you, and they are now probably, do you think that would affect your credibility in any way?
Well, yeah, that's interesting, and my husband has said it so many times that I would get a little paranoid, and I'm like, you know, because I do this video series with Karen Dahlman called The Women of Ouija, which is real fun, and we wear witches' hats and stuff, and people love it, but he's like, you better not, people are going to really think you've lost your all credibility, and I was like, ooh, but really, my clients are men, and they're the high-income I'm like a millionaire matchmaker. So the men are my paying clients, and then the women join for free, and the women love it. The women tend to all be like into spirituality and stuff, especially out in Southern California. Mm-hmm. The guys really, unless they look at my website, they really won't know. One of my male clients did read my book and loved it, and then he went back and read my other memoirs. Mm-hmm. And I don't discuss it with the guys, but
yeah,
so far it's been okay. So far it's been fine. Mm-hmm. And it's helped me because I work in a kind of a shallow industry where the guys, they're wealthy and they want women to look like models. And so it was kind of, it's like I almost had to go this extra, into this extra spiritual quest to kind of balance out the shallowness, because sometimes it would really get to me. But I've been able to use it, like I can Reiki my clients' files. I'll put a candle and crystals and I'll ask my angels, please help me find the right matches for these guys. You know, I've added this like mm-hmm. magical dimension to my work. And I like that because it's a challenging job. It's rewarding, but it's challenging. So I kind of like this having these both sides and the spiritual aspect to help me and to add to my work.
Mm-hmm. Now, some people are sitting there scratching their heads now. so I think it might be a good time to explain what a 21st century matchmaker is and does, as opposed to Fiddler on the Roof's Yenta the matchmaker, right?
Yeah, this is so funny because I didn't even know that this job existed. When I got into it, I was an actress / waitress for about 20 years until about 2002, when I was like, I've got to hang up my waitress apron. I can't handle it anymore. I was 39. And a friend of my now husband was taking over the management position at a video dating service called Great Expectations. And she says, hey, Marla, do you want to, you know, a job? You can work part-time and still go on auditions for your acting stuff. So I worked at this video dating service for about a year and a half. And from there, I ended up getting a job at a Beverly Hills matchmaking service. I had never heard of it, but I answered an ad in the back of a paper that was, it just said, talent scout, fun job at Beverly Hills. I needed some work, didn't know what it was. I walk in the door and it was a matchmaking firm. And the owner said, well, we're a high level matchmaking firm. Our clients are affluent, professional men seeking marriage and long-term relationship, but they do have high standards in how the woman looks and they want the whole package, et cetera. So we need recruiters to go find these ladies for our male clients. So I started as a recruiter. I was going and finding these beautiful goddesses for the guys to meet. And they liked me so much that they said, hey, do you want to work in the office? And I said, hey, I'm an actor. I don't know how to work in an office. But they said, no, it's okay. We'll train you. And I used my people skills. And soon I was matching guys. And I was president of matchmaking there for 7 years. I ran the whole matchmaking thing. And then I went out on my own and started my own matchmaking business in 2010. And I have a wonderful partner now. But yeah, it's very hands-on, kind of VIP, small and boutique. And it's for men who are super busy. Maybe they're real estate developers. I've had billionaires. I've had rock stars. I've had, you know, different kind of high profile guys, and they don't mm-hmm. want to go on the internet. They don't want to go pick up somebody in a bar. Maybe they're divorced and or getting back out into the dating world or whatever. So really we do all of the legwork for them. All they have to do is show up on the date. And we already know, you know, interview them and find out what type of lady they're looking for. What age group do they want? Kids? Is it okay if they have kids? You know, mm-hmm. all of that area, part of the country. And so it's kind of like a headhunter, but for love. And it's been very rewarding, have many marriages over the years. We've got two people engaged right now. So yeah, that matchmaker. And now since I started about 14 years ago, there's a lot of matchmakers out there now. There were very few when I got into the industry. And then I think people saw a lot of the girls that I'd match up actually said, hey, I can do this. And they went out and started their own little boutique services. So they started cropping up and their certifications.
Wasn't there, mm-hmm. I think there was a show on cable called The Millionaire Matchmaker or something.
Yeah, Patty Stanger. Matchmaker on Bravo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I never watched it, but all of a sudden it just popped into my head right now. All right, so in addition to matchmaking, crystal and Reiki healing, those are services that people can go to your website and find out about. But I also noticed on the website there was a thing called Messages from Mirth. mm-hmm. and Earth being your guardian spirit. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I just added that. I've had so much fun connecting with Mirth, and I started giving, I don't give, you know, a lot of readings, but I had given messages like to my cousins for Christmas. Last year, their gift was a beautiful candle, and then I got messages, had Mirth channel a message for each cousin and my aunt, and I typed it up, and it was beautiful, and they were just like almost in tears. They loved it. I had a friend who was, her mother was dying. It was a few months process and she was devastated and she wanted some, me to connect with Mirth and give her some insight and she loved it. And another friend was almost going to be homeless and needed some angel guidance. And I said, I'll, you know, give a reading on the board. And I found people just, they found it very profound and loved it. And then when my book came out, the Buddha made me do it. I said, okay, anybody who purchases my book on Amazon, send me the receipt and I will send you a message, you know, from Mirth. And, they loved it. And so I said, you know what, I'll just put it on the website. I think, what is it? $15. Just very inexpensive. If somebody mm-hmm. would like a message from Mirth, should we do a paragraph or two and I'll channel it and type it up and email it to the person. So, so I put that up there. If anybody wants to have a message from Mirth, you know, just contact me.
Yeah. I love the channeling part. And I think for me, one of the interesting things is, you know, I read tarot, I read Oracle, decks. I can channel when I want to, but one day somebody asked me for a reading and I really didn't have the time to do like a full reading at that moment, but it was something that they needed to know right then. And I said, you know, I haven't ever tried this. I mean, I haven't done automatic writing properly, you know, with the pen and paper, pencil paper, but I said, I'm going to sit in front of this computer and I'm going to see what comes up, you know, because, hey, mm-hmm. it's the 21st century, channeling is channeling.
Yeah.
And I can just sit here and let it come through. And it's rather, it's amazing because, you know, you don't have a clue as what's going on. You're just typing away and all of a sudden you read it and it makes sense. And it has to do with what you're looking for. You know, I mean, it's kind of a wonderful thing. And people say, well, no, you should never do automatic writing and you should not channel because spirit is going to take you over. Mm-hmm. And that isn't the case. I mean, you know, maybe back in the 1920s, they figured that, you know, you had to be possessed in order to do this mm-hmm. stuff. But that really isn't the case. I mean, I'm clairaudience, so I hear a lot in my head. But I love just being able to sit there and have messages and things come out.
I love it too. And when I'm on the board, I start getting sweaty, kind of some hot flashes. My lower back hurts. And my friend Linda Salvin, who uses the board, she's like a world famous psychic. And she says, oh yeah. She says, it's because the spirit's kind of you coming in and using you to with the energy to move the planchette and stuff. So mm-hmm. it can get exhausting. So when I'm off the board and just typing, just kind of, I kind of get myself out of the way mentally, and then it can come through and it's much more, it's faster. It's, I don't feel those physical symptoms like I do with the board. I'll have mm-hmm. the board actually sitting on my lap though, and start out on it. And then I'll mm-hmm. jump onto the computer. And then if I get stuck, I'll go back to the board, get a few words, and then come back on my my computer because I'm still mm-hmm. kind of new at it, mm-hmm. and I don't want to have my own thoughts getting mixed in there. So that's why I'll go back to the board to grab a few words and then come back on. So,
yeah, that's I think what scares people is just the possession thing. And as we're talking, something came up in chat that. Spirits can take you over an astral too, and that you can come back possessed. What's your comment about that?
Well, I don't know. I've never met anybody who's had any issues with that. Now, I did have some kind of hitchhikers. I had some low mm-hmm. vibrational entities come and attach to me, and I wrote about it in the book, and I was shocked. I didn't know that it could happen, but now that it's happened to me, and Tahita, my healer, my teacher, she removed them, and she told me, you know, this is actually something that's good that happened to you, because as a healer now you can be sympathetic and know and understand how somebody feels. But I think people get these low vibrational entities attachments all the time. I mean, look at the people on the freeway, people freaking out. They just need them cleared. You know, it's probably mm-hmm. something very simple. Full out possessions. I don't know. We, you know, see them in movies yeah. and stuff, but how many yeah. people have you ever really seen? I mean, I think it's mm-hmm. would be a rare case. I'm really not concerned with it, with that.
Right. Yeah. We don't hear a lot about that, but again, it's fear. And in yeah. the book, you have a chapter on fear, and this is coming around full circle for people to get the book and read it, because it is very enlightening. I'm looking here at enlightenment. The way you spelled it was very cool. L-I-T-E.
Yeah.
Big bold.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm not Buddha. I'm not Jesus. I'm not an enlightened master, but it's just like on the way to, you know, it's a lifetime journey. So I did L-I-T-E because it's kind of light, spiritual light.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
Mm-hmm. Tell everybody where they can find your Cosmic Conversations show.
Yeah, that's on YouTube, just under Marla Martinson. But if you go to my website, marlamartinson.com, and it's my last name's M-A-R-T-E-N-S-O-N, everything's there. The links to my YouTube show, my books, my, you know, crystal healing, everything that I do is on my website.
Services and your blog. Yeah.
I was going to say, and if you sign up for I do a weekly newsletter, which is kind of fun. I have a crystal of the week and just, you know, some fun stuff and sometimes contests. And if you sign up for my newsletter, I have a wonderful meditation, self-love meditation that you can get and download that I did. So you can get that for free.
And people should really get over there, because there's a whole lot on the website. I love it when you can go to a website and it's not just one page that just blah, 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 blah. I mean, you have all these different factions and stuff. So it's a very, very cool website to go to and to learn, and a great place for people who want to start enlightening themselves. Place to find the book and a place to find some different ways. And it's all good. All good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me tonight, because a lot of good stuff here. And like I said, I enjoyed the book. I giggled. I laughed. And, and you know, it's not all fun and games. There's a seriousness to it, too, about the fear and a lot of explanations. And for people who don't know what is going on, it's a good primer.
Yeah, and I even have some recipes in the back. So,
yes.
For those people who are into food.
Well, who isn't? Everybody
yeah.
is. You know.
Exactly.
Sometimes we call Para X the food channel, because during shows, people in chat are always talking about certain foods. So that's great. Well, you know, come back sometime.
I would love to have you back. Thank you, Marla.
Sorry. And I want to thank everybody for listening in as well. And until next time, everybody, blessed be. And merry meet again. Good night.
This has been another edition of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Be sure to tune in next week at this same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2014. Moonlight Hall by Kevin MacLeod. Licensed through Incompetech.com.